Blog Talk Radio.
Alafia, greetings and happy African American History Month. Thank you so very much for joining the Curator Read Room, and you have your own Inka Zanu coming to you live from my studio. I'd like to welcome all of those old friends by saying Habari Gani and saying what's up to those new friends. Thank you so very much for joining us this evening. And we are about to give you a little prelude about what is to come for the month of March. As most of you know, the month of March is National Women's History Month, and there will be activities going on throughout the diaspora on behalf of women that are rising. I wanted to make it perfectly clear to the nation and to our stateside friends and families that we are not only climbing up the ladder just so that women can advance themselves as Black African-American women, but because we're Africans and we believe in duality, we have intentions of bringing our men up right alongside of us. We cannot advance and be in duality and be in good taste if we do not perceive that our Black males will be rising right along with us. Let me make it perfectly clear for those of you who may think we're into a women's movement and we're carving a place just for our Black selves as Black women. That is not the case. Contrary, my friend, we are carving a place for the Black family, to enhance the Black family so that the nation will rise as a people. So therefore, this show was created specifically for the Black male. We've gone a step further, and we've created some activities for the Black male during the month of March, just to accentuate on the fact that we cannot go anywhere as women unless our men are by our side. Now, in the billboard, you will see that we are now becoming true to our own, talking more about those book readers and having our book club. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We're going back to the old ways, and we're going to look at having our book club. And one of the book clubs is especially going to be designed for our Black men, and it's called Mantu Publishing House. And during that particular month of March, we are going to be featuring books that are written by the author, our brother, dear brother, Polite. I don't know if you've read any of his books, but you certainly have got to read his pedagogical philosophy. The man is brilliant, and more Black young men are interested in his work. So we're going to take some time out to talk about his work during the month of March. And we will have a ribbon ceremony cutting at the end of this month to bring our Black men in to talk more about Brother Polite's material. He's written over 14, 15 books in 1 year, maybe even more. The brother is a genius when it comes to our history and our lineage and heritage. So we will be bringing Black men in to talk about those books and to have a discussion group during our session of dealing with our Black men's book club. We also have a book club for women, and that book club will be featuring issues that pertain to women. Now, didn't you know that women and men should separate some time to work on certain aspects of their pedagogical philosophy? Yes, we are going to be featuring a couple of books that have been written specifically for women that are rising. Now, as you know, Women That Are Rising has been featured by 10x10, and it is an organization of men that gets behind women, and they push for women to rise and to build a nation. That film that I told you about earlier that will be featured in March is called Where Girls Are Rising. It will be featured during the month of March on the eve of National Women's Month, and that is on the 6th of March at 6 o'clock p.m. at the Star Theater in Maryville, Indiana. You can purchase your tickets online, ladies and gentlemen, or at the box office, but do purchase them. Send your friends out who are here in the Midwest to see that film. We're featuring and sponsoring that film through our show, Care to Read. We're backing that show. And we're asking that you come out because there will be a question and answering period after the show and some dialogue about where women are rising. And that particular show will feature over 10 different countries of women and their true stories, all the way from dealing with African stories, all the way from dealing with the United States and various different other countries. I will be giving you a headline of those women whose stories will be featured. And these are true stories, and you definitely want to hear about those women who were involved in child male marriages and how they are now fighting back to get their rights. Now, we're still in this modem. Even though we're going to be interviewing women from the law spectrum, those are women who are in male-dominated fields who we've elected to look at the women in law. So we will be interviewing about three of those women, and they will be coming on, Christine, Ebony, and we also have Sister Hahima, who will be coming on, who is a record owner. She's a record deal owner, and we'll be interviewing these people, and they'll be giving us a little bit about their male-dominated professions and how they feel about being in those professions. Now, also, we have been pushing for women that are rising, but men will be rising also. And today we'll be talking about how we can pull our men up to be alongside of us as we rise in this nation, because we believe in duality in relationship. And as you know, the relationship guru, we certainly believe in family. So we cannot have women rising without men on the forefront rising also. So I hope that takes care of that discussion for you, because some people have gotten it twisted. As you know, they think we are out there being a feminist, pushing for women only, and that is not the case. We would never do that because it certainly would not serve us any purpose. Let's take a station identification, ladies and gentlemen. We can all win together, and we can all do this one step at a time. And I am going to get a drum roll, if you don't mind. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is your Omienka, Seven Zanu, coming to you straight from the Care to Read Room. This is an all-brand-new Care to Read Room. We are going to be true to our own, dealing with literature, language, and culture. That is going to be our new thing, literature, language, and culture. because when we become computer literate, we become educational literate, we become a reader, we can do all things. And when we get involved in reading literature, good, healthy literature is really the case, we could really open up our opportunities. Now, one of the other things that I wanted to also let you know, as you know, I'm interested in law and have had an interest for a long time. And one of the courses that I was bringing to this area in the Midwest is called Street Law. Now, we are going to be offering that course not only to just our males, but our women as well. We're going to do a special program where we bring the men in. This class will be offered free of charge, and you can take that right online. We are formalizing the curriculum currently as I speak, and that will be a course that we can hopefully offer for free. Right now it looks like we can offer it for free, and we're working very hard to keep the cost down so there aren't any costs where you can take the course online. Yes, you guessed it. It's going to talk about all your rights as a citizen, your inalienable rights, pleading the fifth as well, doing your business law, getting involved with your landlord-tenant, all of these things that pertain to consumer education. You ought to be informed, and I believe you should. And I told you earlier that I wanted my people to be free. I want my people to be free. And the way you become free, you must know when the cards are stacked against you. You must know what your rights are so that you have a right to understand what laws are being held against you. And these classes will be offered for non-continuing education online. You can take them at your own leisure. They will be on demand, where you can go into the classroom on your own and take these classes. Now, we have a couple of other courses, and that is, as you know, we started our school for literature, language, and culture. And that's what the school will be centered around, literature, language, and culture. One of our classes will be focusing in on teaching English as a second language. Myself and one other person will be teaching that class. We have designed some courses of our own, and we will also be teaching those courses that are currently taught by other universities. And they will be, one of the courses will allow you to work with your apps and developing English as a second language. So you have your English right there on in your hand, in your smartphone, where you can touch an app and go right into your grammar or go right into your murmur diphthongs or your diagram and get an understanding for how to learn English as a second language. Now, all of us are not foreigners, I know, but some of us can take a refresher course in grammar. I know I can. And periodically I have to go back to those grammar books to remember what are the rules and regulations. So we've created an opportunity for you to take one of those courses with the apps combined, which will be a fun class, learning how to do the apps. That class is currently free, and we will be making those available for you during the month of March so you can sign up online free of charge at your own leisure. Education is what we're aiming for, to close the gap. And that's what Project 2019 believes in, that we should have our own institutions and we should close the gap and we should encourage people to go back to school, because we know when you're educated, it's very hard to discriminate against you and offering your job because you're black. It will be more so very difficult to discriminate against you if you're educated, because they have to attain to the necessary requirements and having a credential. And that's what we're trying to do, get you credentialed in any area, not necessarily degreed up, but you can get a diploma of some sort or a certificate. So we're going to make that available for you. And because we are offering Care to Read, we will be doing an option where we are looking at having our online bookstore so you can have access to e-books to read. We are offering you the opportunity to read. And the more you read, the more brainiac you'll become. And I'll be scared of you because, Lil G, your head will be getting bigger and bigger every day. So why don't you lock that dial in, Lil G, at 646-478-0270. Let's get on our topic this, ladies and gentlemen. Our topic this evening is focusing for men. Now, our chat rooms are open if you care to come in, and if you would like to host that room, I certainly would love for you to. So come right in. Our number, once again, is 646-478-0270. Now, I'm speaking rather fast because our time is upon us. We will not be doing our libation because this is a special feature show today and Saturday for men. And men, I want you to know, first of all, we love you and that you are our greatest hero. And during the month of Black History Month, I would like to give a salute and a dedication to our black men. There's nothing greater than having a man at your side, women, and don't forget it. You cannot excel and aspire to excel anything and to get over and sub anything without your black male beside you. Africans believe in duality, and we must do things in good takes, and that is to do them in duality. As we advance ourselves in rising, our black men should be right there by our sides to rise. Now, we cannot educate ourselves, women, any further without seeing to it that our black men are giving equal opportunities. I know in some of these institutions, they're not given the same opportunity. And most of our universities are dwindling in enrollment for black male. That is why it is necessary for us to bring about these non-traditional aspects of schooling to allow our men to go to school for free and to allow them to enroll right online in the comfort of their own home. And that is what Chaomi is trying to do, create more opportunities to have continuing education courses with diplomas attached to them and certificates where you can gain knowledge and gain that more abundantly right in the comfort of your own living room. I know it's difficult sometimes for you to go and enroll in these universities. I know sometimes it's hard for you to embrace the outside world and you don't like being rejected. Here's a way you can avoid from doing that, by enrolling in some of the courses that I'm going to be recommending. Yes, I changed my name, as you see. I do not want to carry the name of a priestess and not be able to act in that capacity and have my hands tied behind my back. I believe when you take a title, you must be able to operate within that arena. And because I feel very limited from operating in that arena, and I feel more comfortable with operating in the arena of the professoret, which I have been for many years, and teaching and training adult learners. I can operate in that respect because I have been doing that ever since I left the elementary class. So, as you know, I have professor on my title. On the book roll for graduating graduates, I am listed as a professor. And when they listed me as a professor, that's because I held an adjunct role. But I am no longer holding an adjunct role, so I've advanced myself to professor. And when you become specialized in anything, do take your proper role, because if you don't take your proper role, somebody else will take it from you. However, as a priestess, I'd like to say that there are many people taking care of that role, and they are engaging in doing the divinations, and if you need me to refer you, I can. However, we're still spiritual in this room, but we're working on education. Focus is on education. Do we have it, Lil G? On education. Right. Now, once again, black men, I'd like to say that you've been given a real raw deal on every account. As I look across the nation, you've been given a raw deal on every account. I understand that there were tests that were given, and these were sensitivity tests for psychological testing to determine how the world felt about black men. Now, this is second-handed information. Don't document it as being documented evidence, because I don't have the statistics to back it up, but you can go research it on, do a Google online, where a group of men were given a test, and, well, a group of people were given a test as to how they felt about black men. And from what I understand, that the group of white men that were tested and they were given the name of black men and their brains were actually examined and they were scanned, and as they mentioned the name black men, they noticed that the scanning of the brain showed that there was a lot of fear and trauma when the name of black men were mentioned. And surprisingly enough, when they took a group of black women to examine their brain scans to see how they felt about the term black men, they were extremely hysterical, even more so, and a greater number than the white men. So that told the nation that black men are being feared all over the world, not only in the white arena, but also in the black arena as well. So what is it about black men that's feared? And why are they feared? And is this a false misnomer? And do we need to clear this up so that the air is clear for our black man to have a clean slate? Now, why don't you call in? If you have something to say about this topic and can help me on this discussion, call in at 646-478-0270. We'd love to have your opinion. Our chat rooms are open. You can come in and join us at any time. Now, I want you to ponder on that question and come back with some kind of answer and respond upon it, because I know you can do it.
Y'all ready?
All right. How many of you are ready to give me some input on that question? Why are the black men feared so much around the nation? What is it that causes men and women of all races of people to tremble when the name is mentioned black men? Well, I'll tell you what I believe. I personally believe that there was always a fear, because even when Caesar sent out all of his soldiers to gather up all of the newborn till the age of 2 years old and to kill them for fear that he might be the Savior, the one that is going to return to enlighten the world. There's always been a fear that the Savior will come up through the black man and that he might be rising. Instead of girls rising, the black man may be rising. That's really what I want to say here today. We ought to be looking at the black man rising, because he could be rising right here in the Midwest and no one not even know it. But they're looking constantly to make sure that he doesn't grow into full manhood and that he doesn't advance himself, so therefore a large portion of our black men are being subdued. And being subdued, I mean being killed off, placed in prisons, placed in mental institutions, and pushed and forced out of school. And today I want to talk to you about what I know best, and that is school. And this is what I've seen with my very own eyes. I can attest to it. I have been there. I've been an educator for over 35 years, so I've seen what has happened in the classroom. Now, here's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And no one can debate me on it, because I lived it. As an educator, I've seen so many times where I had to come to the rescue of African-American males because they were at the mercy of the people. And without wanting to, so many of them have been pushed out of school, sometimes because of rules and regulations called attendance. And I've seen so many young men being pushed out of the system and forced out. Now, those children usually end up going to an alternative school. And because those alternative schools are overcrowded and they cannot meet the mark by meeting the standards, they too are threatened to be closed down. And that's what happens when these young men get pushed into those alternative schools. And when they don't perform, they also are on the list to be shut down. And most of our black men have gone through and they have caught so much distress because of the fear that's been placed out there in the atmosphere. I was so concerned about these young black men that I began to do a study, and my study went on for 5 years to study black males. I am now at the completion of that manuscript, and the book will be coming out shortly. The manuscript is finished. We finalized the extra activity on the actual page covering. It's all done now. However, the last chapter, I wanted to conclude it with brain balancing. And that's what took me so long to complete it, because I wanted to include brain balancing in there for our young men who are being diagnosed with attention deficit disorder with and without hyperactivity. And where is it coming from? And why are so many young men inattentive and cannot attend in the classroom? Well, in my research, I found that so many of them are wired differently than girls. I said, don't you know they're wired differently than girls? and their melanin caused them to be somewhat very, very learned and learning from their very own skin and bypassing the brain syndrome, where the learning can take place without having to go to the brain first, and their skeleton and their skin will act as a brain barrier and pick up information. During my studies, I discovered that they were brilliant-like and had the capability of excelling. However, statistics were showing that there was less and less patience being given to the black male to respond to any questions or any amount of questions that were asked. And in my discovery, I found that we have more patience with the girl than any time and waiting for her to respond than we do with the black male. So there's tons of discriminative proof to show you that we as female teachers also discriminate against the black males, not only other races. So are we looking at a society that has actually come against the black male, not only other races, but black women as well? Possibly so. With 80% of the females in the classroom being teachers, that we would have had to participate in the conspiracy to destroy black boys by recommending them for special ed. Now, special ed is a whole different horse of another color that we don't have enough time to even address. That is for another topic and another day. However, we can say this much, that there is a large percent of black males being diagnosed for EMH and ED. And how do you determine EMH and ED? Most of those psychiatrists say you cannot give a test to determine your disability with behavior. It must be observed. And if it is observed, from whose perspective? And if you know what hyper is, then you must know what non-hyper is. But it is a value judgment, so it has to be judged through your value system. And whose eyes are you looking at your judgment through? Once we look at the fact that black males are wired differently, they also are socialized differently. And we must understand that they must be separated from girls in order to be trained and to be educated. So we have to look at our school system. Overhauling our school system means to create a program that will be conducive just for our black boys. That's right. We're talking about separating our black boys at the grade of fourth grade. They no longer need to be integrated with females. They must have a male counterpart and a female counterpart that will instruct them throughout their tutelage. It's very important that we should understand we will do a disservice to our black male, because only iron can sharpen iron, and a male must be introduced to their life by the age of 12 years old and at possibly the grade of fourth grade. Now, these are only my philosophies. You don't have to take Omi's philosophy, but as an educator, I think I'm pretty darn close to understanding what black males need. I'm currently working on writing the book on how to create genius in our black boys. And one of the reasons I did that is because I had set out purposely to create genius in my youngest child and left my work environment to go home to create that genius and kept all records of him to show the steps that are needed and have to be taken in order to create genius in a black young male. Now, I will say this, mothers, you're going to have to take some time off of work and put the time in if you're going to try to make a genius. They just don't happen. You have to create them. And it doesn't happen because you're beating them down and browbeating them and saying they'll never be anything. You must impart them with the ability to believe in themselves and to build great self-esteem in them. So our black men are vanishing, you say. They're now becoming the new bald eagle. So what are we doing about it? And what are we saying? Well, I certainly wanted it to be clear today that I wasn't fighting against the black male and that I was pushing the woman out front to show how much she's rising over the men to once again suppress him. I wanted to clarify that I love my black men. I have six black brothers who I adore, and they love their baby sister. So it's very important that you should know I've had a life full of working with black men, and I have nothing against them and love my black men and do think we should be engaged in some type of matrimony or some type of other relationship or significant others. We should always have a black male in our lives as black women. You should not go without having that experience, it is a great one. So I wanted it clear that you would not see Omi out front pushing women with the flag running forward saying that we want male jobs and we want to do the jobs that males do and we want our equal share. I'm not saying that. Please don't toy with me, and please do not be impatient with me as I explain myself and letting you know that we are here to save the black family. And in order to save the black family, we must save the black man. There will be no black family without the black man. Women can appropriate and create possibly their female child, but they definitely cannot create the male child. Now that we know that and new science has come along, it's very important for us to save our black men in order to save our black marriages. And in order for us to look at where men are rising, we've got to take a special look at our education and institutional societies and make sure that they're properly being enrolled in these institutions and getting a fair shake at education so that they, too, can find themselves rising all over the nation to one day also sit in the arena with not only Barack Obama, but to also be his competition one day and running for president. It's very important that we should understand if we save our black men, we save Jesus, because that's who he is. If you didn't know it or not, we say Jesus. And what we have done is we have sent in the soldiers and to kill off the firstborn and all of the children that are 2 years old and that are black male. We have said that. Without whispering a word, we've said that. Because now our black men seem to be running in a fear mode. But we've got to save them, women. We've got to save them. And we can do that with our voices. We can do that when we stand with them. We can do that when we call them to attention of the things that we're doing and carry them on our hip, in our spirit, on our side, wherever we go. But we certainly can't break down that relationship that we have, and we must let the world know we stand for duality. And duality is what Africans did. In all that they did, they worked with duality. They did not show partiality by suppressing the male and exerting the women. We have to understand that we have to build nations again. It is certainly nation-building time, ladies and gentlemen. And men all over the world that are black should be rising. They should be rising because they once sat in the positions of kings and queens, and they once had rulership over nations. And we have to understand that a family cannot advance themselves without the proper positions of the male in their proper position and the female and then the children. Our houses are in disarray because we do not have our houses in order with the families. Now, I am a woman of 37 years of marriage who believe in the institution of marriage, and yet at this point I still believe in the institution of marriage, even though I'm a single head of the household now. I do not intend to be this way the rest of my life. I know that there's some family that would love to be a part of Duet and being a part of our family. And I believe that that's the only way that the economy will jumpstart itself, is to set families back in place so that they are functioning as a family in their proper places. Now, why are so many men fearing education? Why are so many men ducking out of the opportunity to go back to school? Are they discriminated far more so? Do they have to go through so much bureaucracy they can't stand it? Then how do we cut down some of the bureaucracy so that they can enroll in these programs, put more online programs and non-traditional programs where they don't have to fear a grade and they can take it at their own leisure and advance themselves? We have to create these programs as our professorettes, as our constituents who are curriculum specialists. We have to push those things forward. So this is the day that we want to acknowledge the black male and to acknowledge to the world that the black male has a chance in society, and they will not die of extinction, and they will not be like the bald eagle where we have to put out all kinds of alerts and accolades to protect them. They will be protected from God Almighty because that is how he intended it to be. Now, I know the Jewish people set a table waiting for Jesus to return. I know the Christians wait for Jesus to return and coming back to rapture us. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus has already returned. He has returned in the eyes of the black man. He's already here on this earth, and it's up to us to treat him better. It is up to us to make sure that he is not dismantled and he is not hung at the cross, it is up to us to make sure that he has a chance to survive, that will ensure that our nation will survive. I'd like to thank you for this opportunity of bringing to you the perspective from Garth, and this is how I see it. And no matter whatever you might think, this is how I see it. Things have got to be set in order, and you've heard it from the Care to Read Room. We are winners, and we will make it to the other side with our prospective counterparts, and you can help us by opening up the door for those young black men who are fighting and striving to get into these universities and who are trying to excel and need tutelage and help. I will offer my service to those young men and women who like to learn to read. That is why our school will be open, but we'll focus in on teaching English as a second language. And English will not only be the second language, we're going to institute and push all of those second languages for African Americans to learn one of their languages, not only Kiswahili and Yoruba and Twa and Wolof, but many of the African languages are now online, and they are available to you, African Americans, so you can learn your native tongues. It is very crucial that you should align yourself with learning your native tongues and understanding that you have more than a heritage. You have a culture, and you have a rich nation, and it's very important for young men to learn from their fathers and not just from women. Only iron can sharpen iron. Help us to sharpen that iron today, and we can do it by creating more book clubs online, more reading programs online, more reading and literacy programs for those who can't do for themselves. We will do for those people during this hour. We will open up many doors for education. We'd like to thank you for joining us today, and we are winners. And come and be with us this Saturday as we talk once again about how we can help those black men to be rising as well. Stay tuned. We are winners.
Y'all ready? Say yes.